Welcome back to Talking Art, supported by Quad City Bank and Trust. I'm Ben Goujon with Quad City Arts, and today on Talking Art, I am thrilled and maybe a little bittersweet to be talking to the current Director of Community Engagement here at WVIK, but the soon-to-be Executive Director of the Wheeling Symphony Orchestra, Mark Zyla. Mark, welcome back to Talking Art.
Thanks, Ben. It's good to be here with you and to be on this side of it.
Yeah. Yeah, you may know Mark as our producer for this show, typically, but today he is...
I'm a guest.
Once again, a guest.
Yes, this is my fourth Talking Art.
Oh.
I think I did two with Kathy, one with Kevin, and now one with you.
Yeah, you were our...
The tour.
You were the Quad City Arts' first guest.
Yes.
With Talking Art for your up-close concert.
Yes.
And now you're here as we send you off into the world.
Yes.
Back home now.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Where are you going? What are you doing?
So Wheeling is in West Virginia. It's in the northern panhandle. My wife is from Beckley, West Virginia, and I'm originally from Parkersburg, West Virginia. So we are moving home. But the funny thing is that one cool thing about Wheeling is, and being in the northern panhandle, is it's a tri-state area.
Mm-hmm.
So you can be in Ohio in 2 minutes and Pennsylvania in 2 minutes. And so when you're looking for a house, you have options in those states as
three
well.
Three states.
So we're telling everybody, we're moving back to West Virginia, but then we bought a house in St. Clairsville, Ohio. But it's pretty much West Virginia, we're saying. It looks like West Virginia. I think we can see West Virginia from our house.
Yeah, you're going from bi-states to tri-states. Moving up.
Yep.
One more wheel.
Yes. And so I'll be the new executive director of the Wheeling Symphony, and it's something that I'm... obviously very much looking forward to being home. There's a story behind that always, but prior to my job here at WVIK, I was the education director at the Quad City Symphony. And so orchestra management has kind of been this thing that I've loved for years. And like when I was 10, I did my social studies fair project on the West Virginia Symphony, of which my dad was a member, and where I interviewed like the personnel manager and the executive director and all that stuff. And I was like, wow, there's like a lot of people. It takes a lot of people to make this stuff happen. And so I've always kind of just been fascinated by it. I almost went to a different school. I went to West Virginia University, but I also went somewhere else to study arts management.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also a French horn player. So for me, it was like, let's play French horn for a while. And you'll pick up a lot of skills because you have to market your recitals. You have to be proactive. And you know you're an actor.
Yeah.
You have to, like, work to get work.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of what being an executive director is working in your community, working with donors, making sure that the organization has the fuel it needs to be successful. And I've always wanted to be an executive director, and I think it... this is just a good time for the transition. And it was completely a surprise that that job came open.
Yeah.
Because, as I said, there's a story. But we read an article a couple of years ago, my wife and I. And the goal of this article was to essentially talk to millennials about seeing their parents.
Sure.
Because, like, I mean, all generations have different things going on. But especially in West Virginia, when you graduate high school, you leave. A lot of people leave, a large percentage of people leave. A lot of people do go up to Morgantown to go to college, but as soon as they graduate from college, they move on to their houses. And so, you know, my wife and I, we lived in West Virginia. I moved to Pittsburgh after I graduated. Then we moved together to Illinois for me to do my doctorate. And we were in southern Indiana. So we've been all over the Midwest. But we just keep going further away from home. And this article essentially said, like, if you're this age and your parents are this age, on average, you'll see them this many more times if you just do, like, Christmas and Thanksgiving.
Once or twice a year, yeah.
Yeah, and so we, like, looked at that, and it's like, I mean, it's a really stark realization that you're like...
You're making me rethink all my life choices right now.
Yeah, and like, it changed me, because, like, I never thought that I would move back.
Yeah.
because, you know, I actually really didn't start loving the state until I became an adult and went back. Right. And we go there, we vacation there. And like, yeah. I love whitewater rafting and nature and all this stuff. And so being from Parkersburg, it's like a little bit too north to have that as mm-hmm. a part of your daily life. So you actually, even in the state, would have to travel down south to see, you know, the New River Gorge, to see like
sure.
all the pictures of West Virginia that people yeah. send. And then like, so when my wife took me down to Southern West Virginia, I like fell in love with the state in a whole new way. And like the people, the way the people support the beauty of the state, mm-hmm. the they're very protective of it. They're very proud of it. And that's something that's really unique because, I don't know, I think there's a lot of people who are like proud of being from Rock Island or proud of being from the Quad Cities, but I have not met a lot of people that are like, dude, Iowa, so sick.
Iowans are proud.
Okay. I mean, that's not to say
stubborn.
That they're not proud, but it's like, for me, like if you're talking to a West Virginian, you know it.
Sure.
And
well, I feel the same way about being from Michigan. Mm-hmm. Like, we hold the fact that we are like the mitten and have the Great Lakes.
Yep.
And like when I first moved to Illinois, it was the first time I moved out of the state. Mm-hmm. And people were like, let's go to the lake. And I was like, okay.
Right.
And it's like this man-made pond, basically. And right. I was like, this is not a lake.
When I go to the lakes,
I can't
like
see
I'm
the other
ocean.
Side. Yes.
It's the same. Yeah. And so that article like really like kind of shook me.
Cause, yeah.
You know, you don't move away because you don't love your family.
No.
You know, like, you move away because you think that there are opportunities
you want other
elsewhere.
Opportunities, yeah.
And another thing that we've kind of talked about a little bit in relation, I think, to my wife is that it's kind of good to go out and see, like, what you can build for yourself.
Yeah.
And, like, we feel really proud of the life that we've built here. And, you know, that desire to be closer to home is the only reason that like we're headed that direction.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we started looking at jobs after that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like we said, you know, if this comes up or something like that, like we're not gonna move to struggle.
Right.
Like when a good opportunity comes up, like we'll put the effort behind it and see yeah. what happens. And boy, when I saw that Wheeling Symphony executive director job pop up, I was like,
I
want that. I need that. So, the process was great.
Yeah.
It was very long. And I know that you were pretty much, you knew it was happening.
I was getting the play by play.
And like, so it took me about 2 months to get the job.
Yeah.
And then with that, you're like, you don't start to think about moving until like you maybe get a sense before the offer that it might be coming. So, like, for us, it's like, it seemed ridiculous in June to start thinking about preparing to move.
Right.
And so then you go through this process that's, like, 2 months. And then, actually, even more than that, I think it was over from when I submitted the resume to when we were finished with all of the interview stuff. But then it was like, I get the job offer, and, of course, they are like, we want you to start right away. And I'm like, yeah. I have to uproot
yeah.
15 years of life. And so,
yeah.
you know, they gave me a few months to get my
stuff
together.
And that's what like, you've been so ingrained in the community oh. between your work here and at the right. QCSO.
And, like, I think that a part of me, I'm, like, almost required in order to do good work to, like, fall in love with an area.
Sure.
And, like, it was difficult to feel that way in some of the places that we've lived.
Mm-hmm.
Evansville, Indiana.
I've been to Evansville.
Calling y'all.
I understand.
But here it was so easy. It was yeah. so easy. A little bit of it had to do with this connection that I have with the Quad City Symphony because it was like my first real like orchestra job.
Yeah.
And for those who don't know, like, I mean, I'm sure you have audition horror stories and just like, you know, a way to describe it that kind of shows how kind of nuts that is to as a way to get a job.
Yeah.
Where it's like in one day, you know, 40 people show up in my case, to play their horn for, you know, five or six people, and at the end of the day, they pick one of them.
Yeah.
And so, like, for me, you go and you fail and you fail and you fail and you fail, and either you find good ways to deal with the failure or more unhealthy ones, or hopefully you transition into better ones if you're doing the unhealthy thing.
Yeah.
But rejection sucks. But once you finally win one, like, it is so exciting. And for me, it was like when I heard that I was going to be principal horn here, an orchestra that my teacher in my undergrad played in, you know, that has that's such cool. a cool history. That's like, you know, one of the top five oldest orchestras in the country.
Yeah.
And I can even look back and see that there haven't been that many principal horns in the 100, and I guess now is 108, 109 area of years. So that's really cool as well. But I was able to do that job and not live here for a while. But then when an opportunity came up after the QCSO's 100th season to invest more heavily in education, there was an opportunity for me to come here. And so we already knew the place. We already loved it. And then when we got here, all of that was confirmed. You know, like our neighbors put cookies on the porch when we moved in. And like just people like you live here. And no, I mean, we really love the place. And it's like you said, bittersweet. And it's I don't know if I ever actually felt that until recently.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, we'll talk, it's like, hey, remember we moved from here to here and we were essentially throwing stuff in the back of the truck as we're pulling out? This is one where it's like, this, we're going to draw this thing out as long as we can.
Yeah, it's hard. And like, I've moved from places that I've loved before, and it's really hard. And it's, you know, you try your best, and I feel like things like social media have made it easier to stay in touch with those places and
you still, follow the like Facebook pages Pigeons of New York or something like that.
Right. But you know, you're going to be diving into this new position, and and I'm sure there's not going to be a gentle breaking in period.
My first week, so I'll start on Monday, and on Thursday they have their biggest performance of the year, which is their holiday concert that they do, similar to what we used to do here in the Quad Cities. It's at the hockey arena, and they have skaters and big extravaganza. So I'm hoping that I will be helping in some ways, but mostly observing to see how things work. But at the same time, I will be technically the executive director, and as you know, anytime you do any kind of production, stuff happens, and so I'm ready to put my problem-solving hat on, but I'm also really looking forward to, you know, I've been a couple times since I got the job to, you know, look for houses, but also I attended a fundraiser last weekend, and It's exciting as a new leader to see your team work before you're involved.
Right.
Because you can see, and the thing that's making me not nervous about this is they're operating so well.
Yeah.
In so many
ways.
That's
awesome.
They have an unbelievable amount of support from the board, the community, the staff, wonderful people who want to do a good job to support this organization. So I think I'll have everything I need to be part of that organization's success. And so I think on Thursday, you know, I'll be able to see them working at, you know, 110%,
because kind of
that's
like
a really big ordeal. But no, it's just like there's things that are just cool. And we were there this past weekend for this fundraiser. And what the fundraiser was is not too dissimilar to Festival of Trees.
Sure.
But instead of trees, it's place settings.
Oh, okay.
And so the fundraiser is called Set the Table. And there's a China company in West Virginia, Homer Laughlin China Company, that does Fiesta wear. And my wife, her grandmother, her mother.
It's so good.
And generations of people collect this stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, there's the, you know, this is when they had lead in them. and like, all this stuff. And so they have a good relationship with this company so that they support this event by, you know, they had a talk about the history of Fiesta, but then they also, I guess there's a Jane Austen anniversary this year or something. So they kind of themed a little bit of it after Jane Austen. And Fiesta printed a one-of-a-kind set of, like, Jane Austen-inspired
Fiesta wear.
And so, like, I come into this, and I was like, you know, it's going to be Christmas trees, but place settings. But then you see that there's just these details that are so special and that make that thing work well for the organization.
Like, an investment and buy-in from
right,
a community.
100%. And it is a community that is so strong. Like, not just the community of Wheeling, not just the community of supporters for the Wheeling Symphony, but the people who love Fiesta love it until their death.
Right.
And they will go to the things every single year. They love it. And so that was something where I was like, personally, like if I was a person living in Wheeling, looking for something to do on a Saturday, I don't know that if I would go to a place setting show.
Sure.
But it was really fun and really exciting and so cool to see the different people. And, you know, that like the thing that's fun about like festival trees and Set the Table is like when you find the ones that they put in like a little cute detail.
Yeah.
And like one of them, they had name cards for the place settings.
Yeah.
And they had a name card for me. And I was like, that's great.
So it warms the heart a little.
Yeah, it does. It makes you feel like people are excited for you to get there and that kind of stuff. And then on top of that, just to, I guess, ring a bell for myself. Another strange thing that's happened recently is, and this all feels so poetic in a sense because it's all like happening at once and kind of showing me that this move is exactly what needs to happen.
Yeah.
So we're going in for Set the Table and we were supposed to be there Thursday through Sunday. On the previous Sunday, right before I'm going out to play a QCSO concert, I get a text from my teacher from Pittsburgh, who's principal horn of the Pittsburgh Symphony. He's like, hey, are you in town yet? And the answer to that is, of course, even though I know I'm not, because I'll be in town. And he's like, we need somebody last minute to fill in next week with the Pittsburgh Symphony, which has been a dream of mine since I started to play the horn. Like, I think they're the greatest orchestra in the world. Hines Hall is amazing. Pittsburgh's amazing. The whole thing. And when I was in school, I would go to concerts maybe twice, three times a weekend because you should. And I would look down there and I'd see them doing something like Heldenleben that has eight horns and they have, you know, five, so they need to hire extra people.
Yeah.
It's like, who the heck are those people? Why didn't you hire me? Because, you know, when you're 19, 20, 21, you're like,
you think,
I'm the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah,
greatest
absolutely.
Thing. Well, of course. They just haven't heard me yet.
Uh-huh.
And but then I was joking with everybody on stage. I was like telling them that. I was like, I get to be the person that the students are up there going, who the heck is that guy? And no, and it was really great because, again, it's like I have been pretty clear in my job pursuits that me as a horn player is a part of this package.
Right.
And I think it's of great value to the organization that I would work for. But at the same time, it is such a part of my identity that I cannot see myself being successful on this hand without that one.
Right.
And so to then, you know, have the support of the board to continue to play out here in the Quad Cities. So I'll get to play a couple times this spring, and then hopefully with scheduling and all that kind of stuff, I might be able to play a few more next year. Because I love playing here. But then also to hear them like introducing me to people and being like, oh, this is our new executive director. He's playing in Pittsburgh this weekend. And like, they're excited for me. And like they kind of understand how much of a, I mean, that's a pretty great place to be as a horn player.
Well,
you know, and like it's as trite as it sounds, it's like legitimately dream come true stuff.
Yeah. And how great that they are